The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today, children, we keep the feast day of two second apostles. The first apostle, for example, of Germany, was Saint Boniface, they say. Pope Leo XIII said that today's main saint, Peter Canisius, was also the saint of the Catechism, was the second apostle of Germany. And sometimes I think being second apostle is even more difficult than being the first apostle, because then the second apostle has to face all sorts of badly entrenched habits and ignorance and everything. And sometimes it's easier just to get a nice group of barbarians and start fresh and instruct them properly. Then today's other saint is a great American saint from South America. His name is Saint Toribio. Saint Toribio was the second apostle of Peru, which was a huge mountainous country. They hadn't had a bishop for a long, long time, and he had to travel all over on foot to get everybody to be good, because the Spanish were not being especially well behaved, and even the priests were not giving a good example, and so he had to be second apostle that way. They were both very busy men. In fact, St. Peter Canisius used to say, if you're too busy, God's help is going to enable you to get everything done. But sometimes when you ask people, well, how are you? Somebody will say, well, I'm awfully busy. Well, I think that's understood. Everybody is supposed to be busy. There's always a lot of good to do for God's honor and glory. And if we're not busy at anything else, the saints show us we should be busy saying prayers for others. Always some good to be done. But we should never think we're too busy or up to sort of get an idea about things. We should just do our very best all of the time. Now, today's saint, Peter Canisius, is in the little shrine there. And that's a sort of a charming folk art picture. It's a little bit more interesting than most of the pictures we put up of the saints. So be sure to take a look and say a prayer to him today so that you learn your catechism well and be a good apostle yourself. Then there's another picture of him in the back, but there's no sense turning around and looking at it because it's sort of hard to tell which one is he, because he was a humble Jesuit father and he's just wearing a black cassock. But in the back, as you know, the great picture of Pope Pius the 11th, and above him is Christ the King, because he's the Pope of the Kingship of Christ, especially. And then are all of the saints whom he blessed, he declared blessed, or whom he canonized as saints. And Pope Pius the 11th made it as one of his special jobs to sort of rehabilitate fallen Jesuits who'd gotten a bad name for themselves. Sometimes the Jesuits were such great fighters for Christ that others, even in the church, didn't appreciate all that they did for the reign of Christ our King. And so, for example, St. Peter Canisius, he had a book of his once condemned by the church for a while. He had his own way of doing things, and he was sometimes very, very patient and very peaceful as he tried to convert the Protestants, and others didn't like his approach, and so they condemned him for it. But never mind, the Holy Father in due time said that he was a doctor or a teacher of the whole church. St. Peter Canisius decided to be a Jesuit because he heard about one of the first Jesuits, Blessed Peter Favor, who was a great preacher, and then he got the idea that instead of being a lawyer to please his father, he would please God the Father by entering the new Jesuit order. And it is where he was really a busy man. They say in his lifetime, he traveled 20,000 miles over about 30 years, but on foot. Not in the airplane, but on foot, or sometimes on horseback. But usually they would travel on foot back then. And he reformed a university called Ingolstadt, which was turning Protestant. And then he went to Vienna. And in Vienna, there hadn't been any priest ordained for 20 years. And he started preaching, and nobody came to his sermons because they didn't like his accent. People are funny that way. They still are today. It's an odd thing, but there you have it, children. They didn't like his accent, even though you're all speaking German. He had a different kind of a German accent from the Viennese. Their German is very sort of soft, and his accent was, I think, harsh. But he proved his goodness to them by two things. First of all, he took care of the plague victims. It wasn't exactly the swine fever, but it was some other kind of a fever or a flu, a plague. And he selflessly took care of them, and they thought to themselves, well, he doesn't speak German very well, but he's a good man, isn't he? So they started to listen to him. And then he asked the church authorities for a catechism. He said, we have to start teaching the faith again. Well, there wasn't any. So then what happens when you make a suggestion? You usually get the job. That's why some people don't make suggestions, I think, but that shouldn't stop us. So he got the job. He ended up writing two excellent catechisms. So that for a long, long time, for centuries, the Germans would call a catechism a Canisius. They named it after him. And then he went on from there to other parts of the German-speaking world of Europe to reform schools, to print and write, to publish books, and to preach wherever he went to save all of these nations for the Holy Catholic faith. He ended up in Switzerland at the end, in Fribourg. And I think he was going to leave, and St. Nicholas of Cluny, great saint of Switzerland, appeared to him and said, please don't go. We really need you right here, so won't you stay put? So he stayed put because the saint asked him to. But he was always a very humble Jesuit father, so he was obedient. Now, the Germans have their own ways and their own customs of certain prayers they like to say and certain hymns in German they like to sing. And the church authorities, including the Jesuits, since they were Italian or Latin, they had a different way of doing things. And our saint sometimes has little misunderstandings because of that, but he was extremely humble. And he always obeyed his superiors and did finally what he was told. And that's how he was a great saint. And he did a great amount of things for God. Now, St. Trivio was interesting because he was a layman, but he was so holy and so learned that he was put in charge of the Holy Inquisition in Spain for a while. And then when the great Philip II needed a bishop for Lima in Peru, he thought that he would be the man for the job. So he didn't want to go because he said, well, I'm a layman and I can't be a bishop. And King Philip said, well, we'll see about that. So he had him receive all of the minor and the major orders, and then just had him consecrated. And again, he was obedient, so he went on his way, and he took care of this great big diocese over mountains. And he would travel everywhere, and sometimes there wasn't even a bed for him to sleep in at night, but he'd stay in some little hamlet because he had some job to do, to teach the catechism or get the parish priest to be good or something like that, or to get confirmation. And he would always just stay put and do his very, very best. The priests were always telling him, well, they did things the way they did them because it was a custom. There were a lot of bad customs back then. And St. Trivio would quote Tertullian, and he would say, our Lord said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I am the custom. So he got everybody to start following the law again of the Catholic Church, canon law, which he knew very well, and to start preaching and living the Catholic faith. They say that he confirmed St. Rose of Lima, and he also confirmed St. Martin de Porres, amongst other wonderful Catholics who would then be sort of the next generation coming up. These were busy men and children. Busy, busy. Are you busy in your day, or do you have a little bit of too much extra time? Remember, empty mind, the devil's workshop. Let's always stay busy. If you're playing, play. Have a good time. Play well when it's time for you to play. When it's time for you to study, study. Study well. And when it's time for you to pray, pray and pray well. And if you're not quite sure what to do, remember, you're an apostle. So if you're not the second apostle, maybe you'd be the 700,000,034th apostle, something like that. But you're still an apostle. You've got prayers to say. How can you be an apostle? Yesterday's sermon, the green scapular. Oh, I still have it here. Remember your green scapular. Could you give it to somebody? Could you hide it in somebody's room? And then could you remember to say the prayer for that person every day? Who's too busy to be able to be a green scapular apostle? Nobody, I should think. So let's all be apostles, shall we? Remember, if we are, we'll save our own souls as well. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.